Good. Good singing this morning. Brother Jason's going to come read scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Man, what a great music portion of the service this morning. Reminds me, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And man, Jesus Christ has done it all. He has done it all. And think of stepping on shore. And I'm so grateful we're at a church that magnifies Jesus Christ and magnifies his name. Joshua chapter 8, we'll be reading verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. And, Lord, just so thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just being in this place this morning. Lord, the Holy Spirit within me has already been stirred, Lord God, with, Lord, the thoughts of you singing towards you. And, Lord God, just we're so thankful for all that you've done. And, Lord, the longer I live, Lord, the more I understand it's not me. There's nothing, Lord. It's all about Christ. Lord, if I just would be in the way, Christ would come and can change lives, Lord. I pray that, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, today they're in the way. They're in a good place. They're here in your house. And, Lord, I pray they'd hear the cry from Jesus Christ saying, come, accept me, and I will change you. I'll come into your heart and your life and then give them the Holy Spirit to guide them, to live with them. Lord, to comfort them. And Lord, what a wonderful plan it is, Lord, to have accepted Jesus Christ. I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that they would do that today. And God, we'd be with the message this morning. Lord, pray that you'd be with the message this morning, Lord. And Lord, strengthen Pastor John Marks as he speaks. Thank you again for all you've done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And we appreciate, as always, as he mentioned, thank you for the music this morning, the choir. And always do a great job. Thank you for that. And Miss Ann with a special and just great words to that. And then I had to be careful because I have to preach this morning. But Josiah with the offertory, and as he was playing, I think it'd be great if Granddaddy could sit here and enjoy that. And I got to thinking, he's enjoying it a whole lot more now than he would have here. And he said, man, you think that song's something, you should be here with me and get finally home. So just that's, man, just a blessing. Thank you for that, this music this morning. Joshua chapter 8, and we are we're continuing where we were. Talked about Joshua 7 last week, and hopefully, I know last week's message, we tried to encourage you at the end, and the title was A Defeated Christian Life, which is what we don't want. But as we're in the book of Joshua, it talks about the victorious Christian life, and it's for those who are saved. And so this morning, this message will be geared more to those that are saved. But those who are unsaved this morning, I'll encourage you as well to make sure you know you're on your way to heaven. But Joshua chapter 8, we get into the next part of the plan here. Joshua chapter 7, they experience defeat. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, you're going to experience some defeat in your Christian life. It's going to happen. Now, we don't look forward to that, and we're not excited about that, but it is going to happen. There's going to be times where, and we talked about that last week, so I won't go into everything we mentioned last week, but there's things that bring defeat in our Christian life, and so we want victory over those things. There's going to be times you're defeated. I was thinking of this. My very first year coaching basketball with these guys, and not these guys here. I don't think they were even born yet, all right? So they weren't even born. But my very first year coaching, and we were so excited. We had our little team there. We had, I think we had one that was a junior, and everybody else was ninth grade and younger. And so we just, you know, we were a young team. Anyway, we were playing, and we finished the season, And we were in our league tournament, our first league tournament game. And, you know, it's the first of everything. You're so excited. And so, man, I remember we went over and we played that game. I think it was on a Saturday. And so our very first tournament game in our league. And we played a team. And they beat us 95-52. 95-52, and it wasn't quite that close. And I remember we just got, destroyed and defeated. And a lot of, like I say, most of those guys were ninth grade and below. And most of, to be honest with you, the team that we played was a really good team. Most of their guys were really about our guys' age, maybe a year older at most, but they were just really good, and we didn't do too well. And so I remember that defeat. And then, but I remember this, 3 years later, when those guys who were ninth graders, were seniors, we played the exact same team, most of the same players. Their best players definitely were still there. And we ended up beating that team by 10 points. Same team that beat us. And I remember that was such a wonderful feeling, too, for those guys that had played and had gotten destroyed, to be able to come back and to win a few years later. They obviously got better over those next few years. But I was thinking about this as we're going in here to Joshua chapter 8. Ai has defeated Israel, and guess who Israel has to go defeat? They've got to go back and defeat Ai. God doesn't say, hey, look, you lost that battle. Let's just move on to the next ones, and don't worry. God said, you got to come back and defeat these people. And let me tell you this morning. When we get defeated, spiritually speaking, we can't just run away from the enemy. Now, we want to flee the devil and stay away from him. Understand that? But we have to face our problems and face our sin and face our difficulties and try to overcome those, not through our own power, but through the power of Christ. And so here in Joshua chapter 8, God says, hey, it's time for you to go back and take on that group of people that defeated you. And so as we look at read the first couple verses of Joshua chapter 8, I want to go through and take a couple minutes and just go through the story. Mostly, we talked about the story of Jericho a couple weeks ago. Mostly, that's a very familiar story. The story of Ai and the conquering of Ai, maybe not as familiar. So I want to take a few minutes, go through the story itself, and then I want to go through a few points from it. A little different than we normally do, but I want to run through the story first. Look at verse 1. The Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. One of the first things he goes to Joshua is, look, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Same thing he told them before they took on Jericho. He says, I want you to be ready for a battle. I've got a plan for you. And so this plan, look at the end of verse 2. He says, lay thee in ambush for the city behind. He said, I've got a plan for you. And he says, that plan is to lay in ambush. Verse 3, Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night and commanded them, saying, behold, you should be in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. He says, listen, he takes one group, and he says, just chosen men, thousands of men. He says, I want you to go behind the city. And he says, make sure you're ready and be prepared and be ready for action. But he said, I want you to go behind there, and as best you can, obviously this will be a little ways away from the city, but sneak in there where they don't know you're there. And so you're behind the city, the group of men that are there. And then look at verse, he says, I want you to wait there, be ready, verse number 5. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. So Joshua says, y'all are going to go and be behind the city, way behind the city there, where they can't see you. He says, I'm going to take a smaller group, and we're going to approach the city just like we did last time. If you remember, we won't take a quiz on this, but if you remember from last week when they went after Ai, it was just a few thousand, right? Maybe 3,000 they took with him. And so Joshua says, I'm going to take a smaller group with me. We're going to go, and as soon as we approach Ai, they come out to fight against us. We're going to do the same thing we did before, all right? Although this time we're going to do it on purpose, all right? They're going to purposely flee. And so we're going to run from them. And in verse number 6, it says, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore will we flee before them. And so he says, we're understanding human nature here. They're going to come out after us. They're going to see us and say, man, we've got them on the run again. He says, so that's our plan. He said, we're going to bring some men together, challenge them, then flee before them, then bring them out of the city. Verse 7, then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand, and it shall be, When you have taken the city, that you'll set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord, shall you do? See, I've commanded you. So Joshua says, we're going to flee, we're going to run, bring them out of the city. As soon as you see them out of the city, then you attack the city and destroy that, burn it with fire. And so that's the plan, and we see what takes place. Verse 10, Joshua gets up early, numbers the people. Let's go to verse number 12. Look at verse 12. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the hosts, it was on the north of the city, and that liars in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley, and it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. Verse 15, and Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. So it works out just as Joshua planned. They draw them out of the city. Verse number 17, there's not a man left in Ai or Bethel, is right there beside it. They went not out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued after Israel. And then verse 18, God tells Joshua, stretch out your spear. And when he does that, look at verse 19, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled in the wilderness turned back again upon the pursuers. And so that, exactly as Joshua had given them a plan, that's what happens. They draw them out. As soon as they're out, he raises up his spear there, and they come in and take the city. And then what happens? When they take the city, those men of Ai are caught in between Joshua's group and the other group. And so Joshua and his group turn back towards the men of Ai, and they basically have them surrounded, and they destroy the men of Ai. And God gives them a wonderful victory on that day because they followed God's plan. And so God gives them a victory over Ai. And so that's the story. Many of y'all have heard that before, but we don't talk about that as much as Jericho. But I want to give you a few points, some lessons from that victory that we just talked about this morning to help us in our Christian life. Number one is this. Victory in the Christian life, we've got to realize this, all right? Victory in the Christian life always comes from God. Always comes from God. If you expect victory in your Christian life, if you expect to accomplish anything in your Christian life, if you're saved this morning, you're on your way to heaven and say, I want to do something, it's going to be because God does it through you. Now, this morning, if you're not saved, you never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to do that first. But if you're saved, the only way you're going to have victory is through the Lord. Look at verse number one at the end of the verse. What does he say? He says, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. God says, I am going to give you the victory. We don't have that in chapter 7, right? In chapter 7, we have Joshua and those men that he sent out to spy the land, and they sort of come up with their own plan, but there's no guarantee from God that you're going to have the victory. God says, I'm going to give you the victory. Any victory that you have is going to come through me. Look at verse, go down to verse number 7. Go to verse number 7. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. We begin to get in trouble when we think that we can get the victory without Jesus Christ. It comes through Him. It comes through God. The victory is going to come through the hand of God. Go down to verse number 18. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. God says, I will give it into thine hand. So the first thing is this. If we're going to have victory in our Christian life, it's going to come from God. It's going to come from Him. We can't get it ourselves. We can't try to accomplish it ourselves. It has to come through. The second thing is this, and this is what I'll spend probably the most time on. Victory in the Christian life does not always, all right, does not always include the miraculous. Now, let me help you understand that. When we get saved, that is a miracle of God that we're saved and on our way to heaven. So we understand that. And that God would do anything through us is a miracle, right? That God would use us at all is miraculous. What I'm saying is this. When they fought Jericho, what happened?
they defeated Jericho, but before they defeated Jericho, what happened? The walls what? Came down. Who did that? God did, right? I mean, that was a miraculous thing. You think about before that, but for them to be able to get into the promised land, they had to cross the Jordan River. How'd they get across the Jordan River? God parted the Jordan River and they walked across on dry ground. That's a miracle of God. And so many times we'll say, man, I want God to do it. And we do. And we talked about, man, how important it is. If we want to see God do a miracle, we have to be obedient. We have to be faithful. We have to trust Him. And He can do the miracle. He can do the miraculous. We can't. But also understand this. There are some victories in your Christian life that won't be looked at as, boy, that was just a miracle. No. If we'll just be faithful, God will take care of us. And God gave them a plan. You know, this plan, there wasn't anything miraculous in the plan. The plan was, let's draw them out, let's ambush them. And it's actually a pretty good strategy, isn't it? Do you know that what God does doesn't always have to make sense? But what God does can make sense. Did you know that? There's nothing that says that God can't do something that makes sense. You know, there's things that we see that are miraculous that God does, and that's a wonderful thing. But there's also going to be times that God does something that to us doesn't look all that miraculous. You know, there's people that get, they say to us, I was talking to a pastor this week, and this is great. He was at a conference, youth conference, and he said, he said two-thirds of the way through the message, the preacher's just preaching, he said one of his teenagers gets up out of his seat, comes back to him, says tears coming down his face, and he says, man, I've got to get saved. He said, and God had been working on his heart and said, I've got to get saved right now. I need Jesus right now. And he said, man, it's a wonderful thing. And he got to kneel with him and pray with him, and that young man got saved. And boy, just to see that happen, that's great. And that is. And it's wonderful that God does that. But you know, you also can get saved in your home. You know, as a seven-year-old, I went home from school one day and went in my mom's room and talked to her, and she took the Bible and showed me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. And it wasn't some moment where everybody saw it. I still got saved. Hey, you know, God can do, it's a miracle that anybody gets saved, but sometimes we're looking for something great. It doesn't always have to be something great. God will give us victories. I was thinking about, spiritually speaking, the people had to do what they were told. By the way, I will tell you this. Victory in the Christian life may not always involve the miraculous, but it will always involve obedience. Look at verse number 8. It says, at the end of the verse, it says, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do, see if I have commanded you. Let me tell you this. If you're going to have victory in Christian life, it will always include obedience to God. Always. And that miraculous you're looking at may not be miraculous in our eyes as we think of something, just something great and something never seen before. But if you're going to see have victory in your Christian life, then it must be through obedience. God's plan, as we mentioned, doesn't have to make sense, but it can make sense. I was thinking about this this week. You know, we look and we see people, we see revivals happen, God do something miraculous. That's wonderful when we see that. Let's think about ministries, and this one came to mind, that makes sense. You know what makes sense now? I mean, not probably before it started. You know what makes sense? If we have people that want to come to the house of God and they can't get here, what should we do? Maybe we should go get them and bring them here. Doesn't that make sense? You think about that, I was looking this up, the modern bus ministry started in the 1940s. Now, we can trace it back to the late 1800s, and D.L. Moody used to take some horse-drawn carriages around, wagons and whatever, and pick up kids for Sunday school. But the modern bus ministry, we think of starting in the 1940s at Highland Park Baptist Church, Dr. Lee Robertson, and they would bring in hundreds and thousands on buses. You know what? Somebody got an idea that said, hey, we have buses picking up school kids. Why not take buses out and pick up kids and bring them to church? Our church has been doing that here for over 40 years. We did it this morning. Some of you came this morning on a bus. You know how many people have been reached through the bus ministry? Now, that's a miracle of God to see those people saved. But you know what? It just sort of makes sense. Hey, we've got some buses. Why not use those to go out and bring people into church, especially children, can be adults as well, but especially children who otherwise wouldn't have a ride into church. Hey, that to me, that makes sense, right? That makes sense to us. And yet, you look at what God has done through the bus ministry in this church, and we have adults in here this morning, reach through the bus ministry. I have families, I have couples that reach through the bus ministry. We have thousands, if not millions, across this country that have been saved through the bus ministry. It's not something we look at and say, boy, well, it's a miracle of God. Yeah, God has done miracles in the bus ministry. But, you know, it's just something that God put on somebody's heart that makes sense to reach others. And so understand this morning, victory in the Christian life doesn't always have to be miraculous. It does have to be through obedience. You think about the missions program. Think about the first missionary from America, really the father of American missions, Adoniram Judson. And no time to go into this whole story. We read what God did in his life. But you know what that was? That was just some people getting together and saying, hey, we have the gospel. It makes sense to take it to other places and try to get the gospel to them and see what God can do in their lives and in that work there. Then thirdly, look at verse 26. The Bible says, for Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. You know, victory in the Christian life always comes from God. Victory in the Christian life, it doesn't have to include the miraculous. It can, but it doesn't have to. Victory, though, in the Christian life, verse 26 tells us, needs to be complete. You know, Joshua did not draw his hand back. God had said, you put that spear forward, you stretch it out until Ai has been utterly destroyed. Go to 2 Kings chapter 13. Hold your place in Joshua. We'll be back there. But go to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. In verse number 14, Elisha is on his deathbed. Great man of God, prophet of God, he's about to die. And king comes to him in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 13. Now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. He says, hey, this is God is going to help you get the victory. And verse number 18, and he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. So Elisha gives him command. He says, you take these arrows, and you hit it upon the ground. And he smote thrice, three times, and stayed, or he stopped. Look at verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him. Elisha got angry and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And so Elisha gets upset. He says, why did you stop? Hey, if you kept going, you could have destroyed Syria. You could have gotten rid of that enemy that you had. And yet you wanted to stop and allow that enemy to stay around. You know what's important for us? If we're going to have victory in the Christian life, there needs to be utter destruction of the enemy. There needs to be a complete victory. And Joshua said, I'm not going to bring my hand back until we've seen victory. Ai, just like all these cities in Canaan, they represent sin, they represent defeat, they represent in our Christian life something to take us away from God. Let me tell you this morning, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll get upset about sin and we'll get victory over it for a little while, but we won't get rid of it totally. Now, you know what you need to do with the sin that's in your life? You need to utterly destroy it. That's what you need to do. Hey, men, you know what? If you're having trouble watching stuff on your phone that you shouldn't, you know what you need to do with that phone? Utterly destroy it. I'm telling you. Oh, well, I can handle it. Yeah, well, let me tell you, young people, you're having trouble listening to the wrong music. You take that music and you utterly destroy it. It's what you do. You start to leave sin around, and you don't get complete victory over sin, it's going to come back and get you. We don't have time to go to it this morning. But if you keep reading, we'll get there eventually in the book of Joshua. You'll find out what happens at the end of Joshua. They did not totally drive the Canaanites out of the land. So what happened? The gods of the Canaanites, the way of life of the Canaanites started to infiltrate the Israelite people because they didn't utterly destroy when they had an opportunity to. Hey, this morning you need complete victory over sin. Remember in 1 Samuel 15? Remember what God told Saul to do? He says, I want you to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And what does Saul do? Saul did a lot like we do. And we preached a message on this not long ago, so I won't go into the whole story. But Saul comes up to Samuel. What does he say? I've obeyed the commandment of the Lord. God said, utterly destroy them, and I've done it. And what's Samuel's response? He says, what meaneth then the bleating of these sheep that I hear? He says, if you've utterly destroyed it, how come I can still hear the noise of the sheep? How come I can still hear the noise of the cattle and those things you kept for yourselves that you were supposed to utterly destroy? Hey, this morning, if we were getting victory over sin, how come you can still hear the music that's out there, the entertainment, the attitude, the gossip, whatever it may be? If we're going to have victory in the Christian life, it needs to be a complete victory. You know, in God's eyes, there's no big sins and little sins. There's no big sins Jericho or no little sins Ai. You know what? Ai was just as much an enemy as Jericho was. Now, Jericho was the first one they faced, and that was a great victory. But Ai also was an enemy, and that represents what Israel needed to defeat. Victory in the Christian life needs to be complete. And then finally, go to verse number 30. Victory in the Christian life this morning, if you're saved, and we're going to have real victory, and it always comes from God. Victory in the Christian life, it can include the miraculous. It doesn't have to, though. Victory in the Christian life does need to be complete. And this should be true, because if we're not careful, we see all this happen with Jericho. Victory in the Christian life, if we're not careful, it can lead us to pride. It can lead us to basically where we are comfortable with what we're doing. But what really should happen is this, in verse number 30, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Victory in the Christian life should lead us to worship. When you have victory in your Christian life, it should lead you to worship God more. When God gives you the victory, maybe that's, again, that's just something that happens on a daily basis, hopefully, but when He gives you the victory in your Christian life, it should be you're on your knees before God saying, God, thank you. And worshiping God. Joshua builds an altar here to worship God, and as he builds that altar, notice what he does, verse number 32. And he wrote thereupon the stones, a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. So he writes down the words of God, verse number 34. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. He wrote down and he read the word of God. That victory led him to worship God. God, you know, as God gives us victories in our Christian life, it should make us more thankful and get us in His Word even more. Let me ask you this morning, has God given you some victories? Now, look, we all face temptations. We all face struggles. We all face things we're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with them this week. And nothing we've talked about, as we've gone through the book of Joshua, and we have more to go through, you will not find in the book of Joshua where God removes the enemies and says, don't worry about facing them. They still got to face them. You see, that'd be great this week if God would just take away all temptation and God would take away everything that's bad that's out there. And I would just, man, just this week would be nice and easy, no problems. Not now, I hope I'm not praying any problems on you this week, all right? If you're like me, I bring enough problems on myself. I don't need anybody adding to those. So I'm not wishing you any problems this week. But I can tell you this, if you're going to be awake and alert and breathing a little bit, you're probably going to face something this week. God doesn't promise that He's going to take away that adversity, that trial, that temptation, whatever it may be. But God does promise this. He does promise victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, right? We can get victory. And that victory we get through Christ. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful when you face a situation, when you face something, and you make the right decision. Has anybody ever experienced that? All right, it's like once or twice in my life. All right, and you actually, and you make the right decision. And man, that is so, man, so exciting when you make, and something comes up, and you did it right. You did it right. Now again, if you're like me, what happens as soon as you do it right? Then you get all confident again and get all excited, think you're something, and you got to go back. Say, no, no, God did that. But isn't it wonderful when God does that? I thought about that. I mentioned at the very beginning, our, not these guys, but the guys we coach, and how satisfying that was for them to come back. You know, if we had just said, hey, the next time we have to play them, we're just not going to play them. We're just not going to play them. Hey, at least we didn't lose to them again. No, but you know what's satisfying is getting what? The victory. So instead of giving up in our Christian life and saying, hey, you know what? Hey, I know I'm going to have to face this and face this and face this. Well, I don't want to face any of it, all right? I don't either. But God says, listen, you follow my plan, you follow my word, you can see victory. Hey, not, don't you, these, we're, I know what we're dealing with now in our world around us today and just crazy stuff. And not surprising, right? Matthew chapter 24 says, what do you hear? The end times, you hear wars and rumors of wars and all those things happening. But, you know, think about this. And if you study your history and you know World War I, World War II, and all that went on there, you know the countries that you just don't have a lot of respect for? The neutral countries, right? Let's say, we're not really take sides, all right? We're going to take sides. No, what you have respect for, what I have respect for is the greatest generation, right? June 6, 1944, those on D-Day from this country that went over to Europe and said, we're going to risk our lives and saw victory, right? I mean, doesn't that get you excited about our country? You see that? And hopefully we can get more like that today. I'm thankful for our military, and I appreciate so much those that serve in our military. They do a great job. Hopefully our leadership can get even better. But isn't it wonderful to see victory? Hey, in your Christian life this week, ask God to give you victory. And don't just, well, I'm just not going to fool with it. No. God puts those things there so we can get victory through Him. And understand something this week. Victory comes through Him. It may not always be miraculous. It may just be, hey, following His word, His plan, and obedient. Make sure it's a complete victory. And then make sure that victory leads you to worship Him. Father, thank you for the victories we get to experience. Lord, it's not every day. There's some days where we wish we'd done better, and some days we fail. But Lord, if we'll be obedient, we'll allow you to work in our lives and trust you. Quit relying on ourselves, and we can see victory. Well, we can see victory this week in areas we thought we couldn't. We can see victory this week, and you accomplish things through us that we never thought possible. Lord, I think about those you've used in this place, in this ministry, and to reach me and to reach others. And Lord, I'm sure many of those thought they'd never be capable of doing something for you, and let you've allowed them to do that. And so I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that those victories we get would lead us to worship you. Not to take pride in ourselves, Lord, but to worship and to honor and to glorify you. I pray, Lord, this morning there's someone here that's not saved. Lord, doesn't know for sure they're on the way to heaven. Doesn't know, as we heard sang about and played about this morning, doesn't know if they'll wake up in heaven one day. I pray today be their day of salvation. And help us to see victory this week in our Christian life. And those enemies that have defeated us before because we didn't trust you, help us this week to take you into battle with us and to see victory through what you do through us, in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around this morning. Very quickly, let me ask you this. This morning was not really a salvation message, but I tell you this morning, if you're not saved, you never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. God said we're all sinners, and we are, and that sin will send us to hell. Without Jesus Christ, the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But it also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven through Christ. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I know for sure I'm saved. If I was to die today, man, if something was happened today, I know I'd wake up in heaven. If you can say that, you're still your hand up. Nobody's looking around. You say, I know for sure I'm saved. You can put your hand right back down. If You're here this morning, you say this, you say, I can't say for sure I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. Or I don't even know what you're talking about when you're talking about saved. But I can't say for sure I wake up in heaven. I know that. You're here this morning. You say, I read something this week so sad about somebody famous. And basically saying, hey, I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven. Maybe I'll make it. You know, that doesn't have to be. God says you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're this morning, say, listen, I'm just not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I promise you that. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out at all. I just want you to be honest before God. You say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you just slip your hand up, say, just pray for me. Pray for me this morning. Just not sure. If you're like that this morning, I want you to do this morning. You come forward and you take care of that. You see me. If you're a lady, I'll get you with the lady. If you're a man, I'll get you with one of these men here. But let them take the Bible and so you can know for sure. You don't have to doubt. It's not something you have to play around with. It's something you can know for sure this morning. Father, again, just help us to follow you in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed, the music plays this morning. You come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Good. Thank you so much for being here. I apologize a little longer. I'd like to have you out a little after 12, and so a little longer than I normally do, but don't get too upset with me. Make sure you're back tonight if you can be. That'd be great. Wednesday night, also 7 o'clock. Tonight, 6 o'clock. And then if not next week, be back in here next Sunday morning. And again, have a great day. Enjoy the weather today. All right, enjoy that while you can. I told them in prayer meeting this morning, I looked at next week, and the low next Sunday is supposed to be 26. We'll see what happens, all right? But enjoy today. So enjoy today while you can. Have fun this week. Be back in here next week. Father, again, thank you for all you do for us. Give us a great rest of today. Bless us, Lord. We're so thankful to be in your house. And, Lord, just use us to accomplish more for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.